The Saturday panel on OTB.
In 1927, Cavan Coolidge was president of the United States, and it was the last time Dublin beat Cork in the All-Ireland Hurling Championship. They have met in the championship on 15 occasions, with Cork victorious 12 times, Dublin twice, and just a single draw. History, John, would tell us this will be a victory for the Leasiders. However, hurling is usually a game that takes on a life of its own.
Don't miss the panel every Saturday afternoon on OTB Sports Radio. Tune in 24/7 on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette. Made of what matters.
This is News Talk.
All right, you're welcome along. It's Thursday's Off the Ball. Nathan with you until 10 o'clock this evening. We got a busy show ahead because, well, there's another packed weekend of sport coming away. Ireland against England in the rugby on Saturday. Keith Wood is going to join us after 8 o'clock. Lots of reaction as well to another frustrating international break for Stephen Kenny. We'll have John Giles, as always, at 7:30. Stephanie Roach joins us on the football show. And we will hear from Dustin Johnson's coach, Claude Harmon, was with us on Golf Weekly. We're going to bring you some of the best of that after 8 o'clock as well. 53106 is the text number if you want to get in touch at Off the Ball on Twitter. The News Round, as always, with thanks to Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. Richie McCormick, good evening.
How are you, Nathan?
Joe Malloy, good evening.
Evening, gents. How you doing?
How did you warm up this night last week, Joe, for the Ireland-England game? How did you prepare yourself for battle with the old enemy?
I watched In the Name of the Father, then Michael Collins, then did a few laps, and that's my usual routine. Nathan, I'll be doing that again on Saturday, of course, ahead of the rugby.
Cannot wait. I would be pumped tomorrow night. Is there any more? Are you doing the old
Martin Brennan?
You're doing the Martin Brennan? Yeah.
You have to watch Martin Brennan.
Absolutely. The reason Sligo we're saying
Turtle
this,
Farmer Martin Brennan.
What else would be appropriate to watch ahead of Saturday's rugby game now to really get ourselves pumped, legal-like?
Okay, that kind of takes away a lot of options that I was going to put on the table there now. Jeez, I don't know. It'd be a lot like the typical Michael Collins. War of the Buttons would probably be a good one, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
That'd give you a sense of us versus them. Maybe if not, it's entirely anti-English. But yeah, something equally as horrible and disgusting as In the Name of the Father or Michael Collins that clearly has been put forward before.
The reason we're talking about this, if you've missed this, listeners, because this news is just breaking in the last hour. There is scandal afoot within Irish football. As you will remember, this night last week, the Republic of Ireland played England. We don't need to talk about the result. But as a motivational technique, a video was played. I wonder, was it an actual video that was put into a VHS recorder in the Irish team hotel? A video
I have that. Yeah.
Was played to the Irish team that was either anti-English or pro-Irish. Now, the reports are, and this hasn't been confirmed, that it was the Academy Award-winning movie In the Name of the Father that was played to the Irish players, and it seems some in the room took offence to this, and now that Stephen Kenny is going to be called before the board to explain his actions.
Okay, I didn't realise that. So it actually was In the Name of the Father. I was just joking.
Oh, really? That was a great guess.
I only saw this news, I mean, to pull the curtain back a touch, Richie sends on his news round by email to me, and I just came upstairs and opened it and saw this stuff about the video, and I thought, what's going on here? Like, I suspect most people listening still don't know what we're talking about.
Well, I think I've just explained it there. That,
oh, you have? Okay, yeah.
This is exactly what just happened. Now, there is no confirmation, Richie, that is the movie or video that they were told and that they were shown.
What I've heard is that whatever was shown, and again, I don't know if it was In the Name of the Father, I don't know if it was Martin Brennan or not, I was told that what was shown was very, very tame, and that if you would want to see it as pro-English, you'd be wanting to come from you'd want to be watching it with a very specific set of eyes.
It does mean, though, that Stephen Kenny has some questions to answer. Clearly, there are a lot of players within the Irish squad, Joe, who were born in England, and certainly wouldn't see the rivalry, not that it feels like there's any great rivalry. There certainly didn't feel like there was a great rivalry last Thursday night between Ireland and England, but that maybe there were people in the room that found this very unusual and did find actually that this wasn't appropriate. And if they did, well, I guess they need to be heard.
Yeah. I mean, again, just doing a bit of frantic reading there. So Aidan Fitzmaurice, the Independent website, says it's believed some members of the FAI party, including players and at least one member of the coaching staff, and a member of the non-footballing staff, were, quote, upset by what was described as overtly political content. as shown to the players as a motivational tool. I mean, to echo your point, didn't work. Don't think we need this anymore against England. Well, it didn't look that fired up to me.
We could have lost 6-7-0 if not for these videos and speeches, Joe.
No, it didn't work. It was you know, it was a flat performance to say the least. I don't know. I mean, I'm surprised that this is the first time that somebody involved in the Irish camp would be upset at quote unquote political content, given that rebel songs have been a feature on the bus for however long. I mean, we're going back decades here. I'm not entirely sure if they still play rebel songs on the bus or if they're all their own personal headphone situation at this stage. So, I mean, it's a little bit of a storm in a teacup, I would think, unless something emerges in the next couple of days whereby this is very serious. There's a board meeting this evening, FAI board meeting this evening, and maybe Stephen Kenny clarifies it and they say, okay, look, well, we won't do that again. It depends how upset potentially the people that the article I just mentioned are referring to are with the situation. I mean, if somebody's so upset they're not going back to the squad or something, then it's a whole other mess. I don't know. Like I said, I would have thought, Nathan, that rebel songs being a staple of the camp, and I suspect, you know, English matches have always had that flavour for Irish teams. It doesn't mean it's right, and like I said, didn't work. But I don't know. If people are going to be upset by it, then they'll have to adjust.
The story going on from Aidan Fitzmaurice was that, so it was shown the day of the England game, and then that manager Stephen Kenny followed that up with a speech which is believed to have touched on political matters as well. So he is now going to have to talk to the board tonight. Again, what does political matters entail? Is it talking about the history of Ireland and England down through the years? Is that a political speech? Is that an educational speech for actually maybe some of those players within the squad who mightn't be fully aware of why the rivalry historically was there? We don't know. But look, these are the sort of stories that come out when you're the Republic of Ireland manager.
Yeah, and that's a good point, you know, and that's just the kind of thing that Stephen Kenny's encountering for the first time. Storm and teacup type stories, you know, and on the back of last night, I'm sure he needs this, like, you know, kick up the backside. So, it does feel storm and teacup territory. Are you telling me that the Irish rugby team, for instance, before they played England at Croke Park, didn't focus in a big way on the history and didn't talk about it and didn't use it as a motivational tool? Is that, you know, what's the problem here? I mean, I guess the problem is that some people were upset. We still don't know what this video was, but the problem is that some people were upset.
Yeah, like John Hayes wasn't crying after the anthem at Croke Park because he's a massive hurling fan and he was delighted to be in Croke Park. Like, there's different layers that goes on to this thing. Like, I wouldn't be a massive fan of the Rebel fan song, Rebel songs thing, but it has been ongoing since the Charlton and McCarthy eras and possibly even before. So, like, it's been part and parcel of Irish preparation for soccer games for God knows how long. Apparently, if this is as tame as we're, you know, being told that it was, like, it's something that needs to blow over pretty quick and you were going to mention John Delaney there, but it not be used as a...
Thing.
He's not the best example to pull out, I don't think, though, to be honest.
No, I know, but I mean, I'm just making the point that this is like an aspect of Irish culture. And so why would an Irish team not reflect some of that at times?
Well,
you know?
I mean, not being hypocritical, because it was certainly seen as unacceptable that John Delaney was singing songs in a pub.
Yeah, okay.
Well, we don't know. We don't know that this is like this is arguably
a private.
Yeah.
This is arguably a private team meeting. That's the CEO of the organization belting these things out in a pub. I take the point. There is a degree of hypocrisy there for sure. I don't know. I'm just surprised because the content of Rebel Songs is, you know, overtly political in my view, and you know, there's plenty of stuff going on in those songs that people could be offended by if we're to believe people were this offended by the video. It's just strange that it's at this juncture that people took offence, you know? Mm. So that's why I'm curious about it. It is a new squad.
There's a lot of younger players within that squad. And it may well have been a case that Stephen Kenny was, you know, obviously very aware of the history and feels that Ireland against England should still be a big occasion. He spoke about it a lot in the build-up to the game that, you know, I think Darren Randolph was the only player alive the last time Ireland beat England, that this should mean something. Maybe he's looking at the squad and thinking that they're looking at this as a friendly, just another game. He's trying to change their mindset and build it up to something more than it actually is.
the funny thing is about it, like, I was watching a lot of the pre-match interviews and press conferences in the lead up to last Thursday's game, and it struck me that a lot of the Irish-born players weren't approaching this as a, oh God, I can't wait to get, you know, one-on-one with England, because this is something I've been looking forward to since I was a kid. I distinctly remember Daryl Horgan almost needing to be prodded with a stick through the Zoom screen to kind of add a little bit of extra importance and spice and needle to this that he didn't feel was there. And, you know, Daryl Horgan's from Galway, you know, was brought up in the League of Ireland and has gone on to play in Scotland and in England. And he, you know, needed a bit of prompting to suggest that there was a bit of needle to this. So maybe Stephen Kenny just wanted to get the blood up a little bit. If he's gone about it a slightly misguided way, then fair enough. I'm sure he'll learn from his actions. But like, for them to suggest that this was purely because English people or English-born people were taking offence is, I don't know, it's a bit odd.
It's a difficult one. It's such an unusual scenario in international football. Like, you look through that squad, and whether it's somebody like a James Collins coming into the squad or a Kieran Clark, players who were born in England, and you're sitting in a room.
Yes.
And even if it is the name of the father, which is obviously a fairly accurate representation of what actually happened, you're playing for a national team in a sporting occasion, probably wondering, what has this got to do with me? Even though you are wearing a green jersey. And it is possible that some of those players actually did think, you know what, this isn't really appropriate.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I mean, again, for anyone just tuning in, health warning, we don't know what video was shown. I hadn't heard In the Name of the Father until you mentioned it there, and we don't know. By the way, I wouldn't think sitting down for 2 hours to watch that. It's an emotionally draining watch. I don't know if you, I mean, it's not like you're, you know, is that the best thing to do on the day of a match? Maybe it is. Seems like not the greatest idea. But to your point, yes, there are lots of English-born players in that team who will have potentially an English mother and an English father and English brothers and English sisters, and we have to be cognizant of that. Nationality is not so straightforward. So maybe it is a thing that we kind of look at and say, well, we need to be cognizant of that. It can't just be... I was about to say it can't be just anti-English. I don't even know what was said. I don't even know what was said. And I think we have to be very careful because, look, at the moment it feels like storm in a teacup stuff. I am just surprised that a member of staff, of the coaching staff, and we're all pretty familiar with who the coaching staff, the makeup of the coaching staff was supposedly upset because they've been around Irish camps a long time. And this can't be the first, you know, political angle to Ireland-England matches they've heard in their lives, or Irish-Anglo-Irish relations that they've heard. So that's why I'm just a little bit cautious in this story. I don't know why they're suddenly upset. That's not to say the upset isn't heartfelt and genuine, but there's just something odd about this story, Nathan, I would say as well.
Well, we have a theory in from Owen, who has just texted us on 53106. Maybe it was a video of Declan Rice playing for the Irish underage sides.
Senior sides, mate.
Wow. Keep your texts coming in. Richie, that is your number one story right now.
Yeah, yeah. I doubt it will be for much longer, but the FAI is investigating a video shown to the Republic of Ireland squad ahead of last week's friendly with England. The Daily Mail reports that the content of the video was anti-English, while others in the camp say it was merely pro-Irish and very, very tame. The FAI say they're aware of issues surrounding the content of the video and are looking into it as a matter of urgency to establish the facts. Last night's scoreless draw with Bulgaria meant Ireland avoided relegation to League C of the Nations League, but Stephen Kenny knows things will need to improve come the World Cup qualifiers in March.
Yeah, I think it was important. It was very important that we weren't relegated. You know, I think that was very important. It's not something to celebrate, not particularly. You know, we the big playoff game for Slovakia, tough draw away to Slovakia was the big game for us. Obviously, we performed brilliantly in the game, got beaten on penalties. We've used the Nations League to blood players, blood a lot of players, and obviously some by design and some because we've had inordinate number of players ruled out for a variety of reasons, and I think you know, that will stand as well in the future, for sure it will, and I think you know, it gives us more options.
Did you watch it back, Joe? Did you decide a big full-on tactical analysis was needed of this 0-0 draw at Bulgaria? Any further thoughts on what we discussed at length last night?
Well, I listened to his press conference in full, and I heard you putting some questions to him, so you were there as well. And I thought he came across very well. He's not in any way spooked by what's going on. There was no spikiness. And I think that's good. He came across very much in control of the situation and, you know, made very fair points to explain the mitigating circumstances, which we're all aware of. I mean, it was a bad first half performance for sure. It was much better in the second half. If Robbie Brady's goal goes in, if Curtis finishes that chance, then there's a totally different sheen on the whole thing. I think if you look at this initial stage of his tenure on the whole, what you would have to say and acknowledge is that there has been a definite shift in how we're trying to play football. That comes with some growing pains. For instance, I think, you know, the Shane Duffy situation is going to become a talking point. He just simply cannot give the ball away like that against decent teams, because World Cup qualification chances will blow up in front of our faces if we do that. We're never going to be a high scoring team in the short term. So we can't afford to give away silly goals. So there are going to be some growing pains there. But I'm absolutely in favour of us trying to keep the ball more and play some football. Jason Knight was good. Josh Cullen was good when he came on. I want to see more Jack Byrne on that side. I think he's good enough to play at this level. But I think the key point I would take away is the shift to play better football, which is long overdue. And yes, we have to be patient with the growing pains. But secondly, in the most important game of this tenure, which was the Slovakia game, we played our best stuff. We didn't do anything too silly. And by rights, we probably should have gone through in that game. And that was a really good performance. So I think Stephen Kenny, and he said as much last night, has used this period to blood lots of players, at times not by choice, but by necessity and a case of circumstances. But he has blooded a lot of players now, huge number of players, more than, you know, the team just change. Consistently, though, regardless of the personnel, they've tried to play football. That's a good thing. Like I said, Slovakia performance was the best one. I think that's how we judge him most fairly at the moment. And obviously, look, we're not going to see this team play for a long time now until March. But, look, you know, we can fixate on the goals thing. And that would be a little bit of a mistake, I think, because, look, you know, you can score dodgy goals here and there.
Ah, Joe, come on now. Fixate on the goals thing. No goals in
If Robbie Brady's goal goes in, or if Curtis finishes that chance, does that change our goal scoring prowess? I don't think it does. Like, if we win that game 2-0, are we suddenly goal scorers? No. The fact that we haven't scored last night, does that mean we can't score a goal? No.
Oh, well, obviously not, but they need to actually start scoring some goals.
That's a given part of the game.
Yeah.
It's a given, but like the comparison I was like thinking of this morning is based on the sides that he's been forced to put out over the course of the last two games especially. Like, we wouldn't judge, and I hate crossing streams and I hate making cross sport comparisons, but we wouldn't judge, say, a team in Leinster like a Dublin or a Meath based on the sides they're putting out in the O'Byrne Cup in January, because everybody else is away on holidays or everybody else has time off until March. And we won't judge that as a basis to judge their championship form later on in the summer. Similarly, with players who weren't even in the 26-man squad being foisted into the starting 11 last night and on Sunday for matches that are, you know, are important and are aided towards our qualification. It's not a proper reflection of what the Kenny era is about, because he's playing with one hand behind his back.
Mm. Lots more to come on that with John Giles, who's coming up very shortly. Stephanie Roach on the football show as well. Richie, we're going to be talking rugby after 8 with Keith Wood. England going to come out all guns blazing, it seems.
Yeah, Eddie Jones is saying Eddie Jones things with two days to go until that game at Twickenham. He's challenged Ireland to bring a dominant performance to Twickenham on Saturday. He's named an experienced lineup for the Autumn Nations Cup clash with Tom Curry, Sam Underhill, Mako Vunipola and Kyle Sinclair all returning to the starting 15, while George Ford, fit again, is named on the bench. Jones appeared today to have a dig at Andy Farrell's satisfaction with last week's win over Wales.
Well, Ireland were very happy with their dominant performance against Wales. And we know they're a very well-coached team. I know Andy Farrell very well. They'll be well prepared. And they'll come to Twickenham with a point to prove, which always makes them dangerous. So it's the most important game of the year for us. And I'm sure for them, they're treating it exactly the same way. So it's a huge step up from what we've been encountered in the last couple of games.
Pep Guardiola isn't going anywhere?
set to become Manchester City's longest serving manager in over 50 years. He signed a new contract, which will keep him at the club until the summer of 2023. Guardiola took charge in 2016, and should he see his new contract through, he would surpass the reigns of Tony Book and Joe Mercer. It was also the Catalan's longest spell at any club should he get to 2023. Guardiola told City TV today that his relationship with chairman Khaldun Mubarak was a deciding factor to stay.
I saw many, many times in the bad moments how the people here support me. Of course, Farhan and Chiki, but especially Khaldun, our chairman. Like in this time was the main reason. That's why I decided to continue. We have a long talks this week and all together, and we put and you know the both sides to continue or not, and at the end we decide the best for all of us is continue, because still we have the feeling that still is not unfinished business, and still we have you know, something to do, continue what we have done the last year. So this club won in the recent past, but being all together, we won a lot, and we won a lot, and we won again. And the target is in this club, like in the past, is not a club won a lot of titles, is continue to try to maintain in this structure of the club as long as much as possible.
Yeah, Pep Guardiola there after agreeing his new contract with Manchester City. As I'm sure everyone is aware, the 2020 GAA All-Ireland Senior Football Championship is underway, and to celebrate, Super Value, as part of their Support Where You're From campaign, have given us some great prizes to give away. You can dig out your favourite ticket stub, match programme, jersey, photo with your hero, any GAA-related item you've been dying to tell the country about. Joe Malloy has already done this. I saw a beautiful thing, heartwarming. Joe Malloy and Liam McHale together. What age were you?
I think about 7.
Oh, Liam McHale had the tan even then.
Now listen.
The shorts were on.
Basketball camp in Ballina.
Oh, nice.
And, yeah, it was nice. Back in the heyday, you know, you'll remember it well.
Glorious. Was Dior Marsh there?
He was there.
Wow.
No photo with Diora. So, I mean, I'm not a big memorabilia person, but if I had to pick something, that's kind of a cool one, you know. Liam McHale, back in the day, me and my brother. Nice photo. So that was what I picked if I was grabbing some memorabilia. I heard you had a good one.
Me?
That's what I was told.
I don't know. I was trying to dig out some old jerseys. They don't fit anymore. Unfortunately, the old 89 jersey isn't going to do anybody any favours right now. I was trying to think of my favourite match programme. Maybe the 2017 final. I was thinking the programme from that. The one time I truly, truly believed. It's my favourite story because it fits all the things I like to talk about, which is name dropping.
Yeah.
Corporate boxes.
Kevin Coban.
All of those things. So 2017 final, right? It's a terribly sad story. Obviously, as you might remember, Mayo were on the verge of winning and then they lose. And I managed to nab a ticket for a nice little corporate box off Kevin Coban. We're having a good old day until the obvious defeat. But then obviously the game finishes and you just want to get out of there. But Danny O'Reilly from the Coronas is in there as well. And obviously Danny's a dub. So Danny is in celebratory mode. And Danny decides to treat everybody to a few songs at full time. There he is singing away. And we just want to get out there. He's at the door blocking our way. And we have to sit there for about 20 minutes listening to all the greatest hits of Dublin GAA. It was the grimmest moment of my life. All I wanted to do was cry. I did actually shed a tear that day. I did. Do you think will the corporate boxes be open before Christmas?
For you, Nathan, I think there's a good chance.
What is the point? Richie, what have you got for us? Have you got an old Meade jersey?
Yeah, I shot the Meade jersey the other night. I'm trying to find it here now. It's probably buried in amongst all the rabble of clothes. But yeah.
Are your kids wearing Dublin jerseys or Meade jerseys?
Dublin jerseys, unfortunately. Yeah.
Well, tell me about it. Yeah, me too.
It's better in the long run.
It's a disaster. If you've got a good story, though, what we're looking for is a 20-second video explaining what it means to you. Get them into us on any of our social channels or on WhatsApp to 087-9180-180, which is a winner every Friday during the championship. Each weekly winner lands a €200 Super Value voucher and also the chance to star in Super Value Super Fan Series, a fly on the wall peek inside the home of dedicated supporters around the country. So if you've got a beautiful photo like Joe Malloy has, or a jersey that means something to you like Richie McCormack, or just a terrible story that you want to share with the world, do get it into us, 087-9180-180. Super Value are proud sponsors of the GAA Football All-Ireland Senior Football Championships. See youtube.com/SuperValueIreland for more details. Richie is about to go and do some journalism and find out exactly what the video was. Was it Martin Mighty. Brennan?
Was it definitely Brennan? Was Martin Brennan. It had to be Martin Brennan.
Do we have any Martin Brennan ready to go? Just...
I can play it through my phone. I always
bet you
have it ready.
You have it ready. You and Kevin Caban, it's always there, ready to rock. Joel, thank you as always.
Nathan, good man.
We barely mentioned it. Golf Weekly is up live now because we're going to hear from Claude Harmon after 8 o'clock. Keith Wood as well. But up next, we are talking football with John Giles.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game. We change it. Gillette. Made of what matters.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.